Reading from Sivati Sandarbha, Anuchay 270. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This devotion to the Lord in the form of kirtan is unlimitedly merciful to devotees who are humble and devoid of the pride associated with wealth, prestigious birth, admirable qualifications, and praiseworthy accomplishment. This is understood from the Vedas and the Puranas. Humility is natural in Kali Yuga because people generally lack the qualification of those in previous ages, as stated in the Brahma by Bhakti Purana. Quote, therefore, in Kali Yuga, activities such as penance, yoga, study of the Vedas, and sacrifice cannot be properly performed even by those who are highly competent. Om Vijnana Samarandasya Janamjana Sulakaya Chaksuram Mulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadayam Tadati Sapadantikam Agadaram Tanandante Idam Yache Puna Puna Simad Rupa Padam Boja Dulisham Janma Janani Vairagya Bhakti Risham Priyatnaya Apayama Madhita Sanandam Kupambhriya Paduka Duki Sinatiratam Prabhamatrayami Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhaye Bhaja Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Ghor Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from Odaria Dham. Here with my godbrother, His Holiness Sriparari Swami, and also with Prem Bhakti Marg, Gandiva, she called from Hong Kong. She used to be with Prema in New York preaching. I was there also in the early 90s. And then Sati Krishna is also here. And I'm giving class every morning. It's a very idyllic setting. I really like the vision. It's just monks ashram. They're building a beautiful temple. It's in the redwood forest. And it's a nice, simple vision of Krishna consciousness. And they have very, very interesting plans for spreading Krishna consciousness. They just bought very, very cheaply some land in Costa Rica. We'll make another monk's ashram, divide up the land to sell to people who want to retire, your hostas, and have another section for yoga retreat, which will maintain the whole place. It's a very interesting plan. That's quite a wonderful, wonderful place. And Sriparari Swami speaks in the evening. So it's a day full of Krishna Katha. So let's discuss today first. So we're on the section of Kirtan, and we've gotten this, basically this sadhana kram, this step-by-step process of practicing Krishna consciousness, and a very nice progression, beginning with Sharanagati to take shelter. And Sharanagati means Ananya Gati Tvam, that you have no other shelter. And you come to that realization that the capable object of your nourishment to have relationship with is God. And when you realize that and take exclusive shelter of him, then you're nourished, because that's what you are. You're part of God. You're meant for his service. And that's actually the satisfactory relationship. And we actually develop faith in that and accept that. First, accepting that other shelters are not real shelters. They won't fully satisfy our desire as the soul to be fully nourished in a loving relationship. When one actually realizes that, then and has that sense, he enters into bhakti. And of course, Yuga Swami makes to the point that the degree that you surrender is the degree that you get the result. And then it goes through the other things, and you know, finally gets to shravanam, hearing, and now chanting. And this kirtan section is very nice. He begins with explaining the goal of kirtan. Shravari Maharaj was speaking yesterday that spiritual life was very nice. It was from the CC. Spiritual life is based on our ideal, our aspiration, our ideal. And the practice is based on an ideal. I mean, when you have a goal, you practice. You don't have a goal, you don't practice. Very important in Krishna consciousness to have a specific goal or idea in mind. I remember when I was in Vrindavan, I was visiting this famous saint, Ramesh Baba, who Radhanath Swami used to live with. And this Ramesh Baba, very interesting sadhu, lives in Mankutir, in one of the hills of Barsana. And he was just giving, he speaks like British English, and he gave some nice advice that one who is pure in thought is pure in action. One who is pure in action is pure in habit. One who is pure in habit is pure in character. And one who is pure in character is pure in destiny. So it begins with a thought. The thought is your ideal. And from that thought manifests the ideal. So kirtan, he mentions that the goal or object of kirtan, or the result of kirtan, the goal is the result of your practice. You have a goal, you practice, and you practice, and there's a result, and the result of the practice is the goal. So the goal is prema, and the best process to attain that goal. Karmadye sarva shreshte nama sankirtan. Of all the practices, nine practices, karmadye sarva shreshte nama sankirtan. Karmadye nirpari aparani poya premadan. If you perform without offense, you get that goal. By the offenseless chanting of the nam, the name is not different than the named. So within the name, the form manifests, the qualities manifest, the pastimes manifest. It's not different. Namachintamani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasya, Vigraha, Shudapurna, Nityamukta, Namano, Binatvam, Namanamano. Namanamano, the name and the name are not different. So that's the process. Everything is in the name, Nijasarva Shakti. It has all potencies. Everything is in the name. Guru is in the name. Krishna is in the name. The Dham is in the name. Sarvasha, all Krishna's potencies. Everything is in the holy name of Krishna. So by that process, sincerely chanting Supriya Nama Kritya with some sambandha, with some relationship with Krishna. And you chant, and the perfectional stage comes. And not only that, it is the best way to attain that perfectional stage. It's just based on our faith, and our faith comes from, I mentioned it before, it comes from hearing from authority. And then acting. The authority means the shastra. So we hear this from different places about the name, the glories of the name. That's why hearing this, I'm not tooting my horn in the class, but hearing the subjects like this is so important for us. As I mentioned before, is faith is a psychological condition of the mind, of trust. It's not just a black and white, I believe or I don't believe. It's a trust, and trust is not I trust, I don't trust. It's something that grows, it's something that recedes. This trust, this faith, it grows by hearing and then by practicing. And then, of course, by association with those who exemplify that particular activity. So it's so important to hear the glories of the Holy Name. So he explains the name, he explains the 10 offenses to the name. He even explains that the Holy Name is the essence of the Bhagavatam. It's what the Bhagavatam is about. Bhagavatam is the topmost scriptural. What's its subject? What's it recommending? We know from the story of Narada Muni, the Bhagavatam is the essential message of the Vedas. It's the essential truth for us in this world. What's the essential truth for us in this world? That perfection, which means to realize the absolute truth. And realizing the absolute truth means to feel the absolute truth. How do you feel? What do you feel? The absolute truth? You feel your love, your attraction, your devotion. And you feel yourself as souls.
Yeah.
Thank you. And you achieve that perfectional stage. So it's the essence of the Bhagavatam. That's what Lord Chaitanya's guru told him. It's the essence of the Bhagavatam. This is what Lord Chaitanya's guru instructed him. When we're followers of Lord Chaitanya, this is the process. So therefore he explains, and then he explains the name, then the root of the form, how the form enters the ears of the sages and makes an indelible imprint on the consciousness. An imprint for what? For that Krishna, for that form. You hear about Krishna. Name. You hear about Krishna's form. It goes through the ears. It makes an imprint in the consciousness. And then what's the imprint in the consciousness? The imprint, the samskara in the consciousness, is for that name, for that Krishna, for that person. And that spiritual life, that desire, that hankering. And then we read about you can sing about the qualities. And then finally, the pastimes. And then he talked about the importance of Krishna Kitta, speech that's related to Krishna. And he made a very interesting point that he quotes from the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam. This is the very end of the Bhagavatam, and therefore it's very significant. When what's hermeneutics and analysis of text, it comes from Purva Mamamsa. There's various criterias. Because there's different statements, and statements sometimes may appear to be contradictory, and you know, you got to weigh statements. By the context of a statement, it has certain importance, and then if something else contradicts it, a particular statement may have precedence, or may be the statement by which other statements are understood. So, what gives weight to a statement is. Whether it's declarative in nature, it means very strong, or whether what's said first in a particular, what's said last. So what's said first and last is very important. This is the very end of the Bhagavatam, and it says, speech unrelated to Krishna is asat kata, asatam, asati. It means that it's not real. Why? Because just even look at our particular bodies, right? They're not real. What does it mean that it doesn't exist? No, there's elements, there's matter that's there. There's earth, water, fire, air, that exists. But a person doesn't exist. It's an illusion to think that body's a person. It's not. It's inanimate. It's dead. It's just material. And it's temporary. When something is temporary, it doesn't exist. It's temporary. The elements are eternal, but that form is changing. And therefore, it's not real. Nasate vidyate bhavo, nabhavo vidyate sadha. Nasate vidyate bhavo, that which is temporary is not real. If you just think about it, and that's why, in terms of shelter, God is the real shelter because he's real. And the body is what? It's a combination of elements. And it's changing. And therefore, the concept of the body of the self is false. So when you have katha, that's not about God, or things in relationship to God, he's saying, then it's actually vain, it's false, it's connected with the mundane. But he said, only that speech in which the Lord's attributes are revealed is real. And it gives joy to the mind, it dries up the ocean of sorrow, it's delightful. And why? Why? Because when you hear about Krishna, it's auspicious because it causes the Lord's qualities to be revealed in your heart, which causes love, prema pramartamahan, which is the goal of life. So when you hear speech about Krishna, about God and things in relationship to God, it causes the Lord's qualities to come into your heart. And when it causes the Lord's qualities to come into your heart, then you develop love. I'll give you an example. I was speaking today from the, what is the verse I was speaking today from? I was speaking, the Parama Karuna song is about the qualities of God. It's about the qualities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And you hear that verse, Pashupaki Jure, Pasanavidare, Suni Janma Guna Gata, Pashupaki Jure, the birds and the beasts cry, the stones melt, even by hearing his qualities, and especially about his compassion. So you hear about the qualities of God, the compassion, Patita Pavana Hetuta, the compassion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the qualities become revealed in your heart and love develops. This is Krishna Katha. And then he goes on to glorify Krishna Katha. Very nice verses from, for example, the Skanda Purana. O King, Lord Hari goes wherever stories about him and his devotees are sung. Just as a cow follows her calf out of affection. So the cow follows the calf out of great love. So the stories, when the stories about Krishna are sung, expressing the affection of the devotees, then just as the cow is following the calf, because the calf has so much love and affection for the mother, then Krishna goes there. And also in the Skanda Purana, I never abandon a person who always narrates my stories, one who is intent on hearing them, or one who's captivated. And I'm just reviewing what I did last time very briefly. I hope it doesn't take the whole class. Then this word where he says, who's intent on hearing them, whose mind is captivated, who always narrates my story. So, in that verse from the Bhagavatam, it says, only speech which the glory of Lord Hari is constantly sung is delightful. Begets newer and newer bliss, produces endless festival of joy for the mind. So the word is anugiyate, repeatedly sung. And the commentary is, if one has a melodious voice, he should sing the pastimes of the Lord. And therefore it implies that singing is superior to hearing and recitation. Singing, kirtan. Krishna katha is wonderful, and hearing is wonderful. But singing about the pastimes is better, and therefore singing about the name is better, singing about the form, singing about the quality. And what does it mean it's better? Spiritual life is based on absorption. We advance by absorption. So if we're absorbed in God, then our natural love for him awakens within the heart. And this is the process of sadhana bhakti. And why is kirtan the best? And why is singing the best? Because it generally is the most absorbing. The key is absorption. Right? You can, any of the processes, I mean, we were talking about previously service to the devotees. And he mentions how powerful service of the devotees are, that it can give perfection without reliance on any other process. So the same thing said about service to the guru. But if you really analyze, you know, psychologically and personally, and for this age especially, but also other ages, etc., when you actually sing the glories of the Lord, it's the most absorbing. And then he quotes so many verses from the Bhagavatam to actually show this. And such a devotee, he gives up further verses, such a devotees who do that, they're such benefactors of others. There's others here, the glories of the Lord. So what to speak of themselves? And then finally, I'm just going to read the last part of that section, then we'll go actually where we are today. I mean, anyway, I do want to stop for questions too, so I really do. When many people gather together and sing the glories of the Lord, it is called Sankirtan or congregational singing. This congregational singing is superior even to kirtan performed alone, because it produces such extraordinary bliss. So Sankirtan is better. We should always take advantage to get. We can see, even I see devotees, that it's easier to do congregational chanting. And it produces such feelings of bliss. Again, the absorption is there. The music is there, done in the right, proper way, with the proper devotees whom we have affection for. Our hearts open, and it produces extraordinary feelings of bliss. And this is the process that Lord Chaitanya gave. If you read the Chaitanya Bhagavat or the Chaitanya Charitamrita, what do you see the devotees of Lord Chaitanya doing as their spiritual practice to deeply realize the Supreme Lord? We see kirtan. The nocturnal kirtans. They were reading a Srivas Angam and chanting the holy name of Krishna. And that was, I explained before, that was Rasa Lila, that was Rasa Stali. That was non-different than the Rasa Lila. Why? Because what is kirtan? Kirtan is Krishna is there. He is there in his kirtan. He's there where the devotees are glorifying him. And he's there, and also the love for the devotees are there, because the holy name is also the internal potency. It is the Shakti to give Krishna pleasure. And when you take that Shakti into your heart with the intention to give Krishna pleasure, Krishna manifests. So the supreme rasa or relationship is there in kirtan. And somehow or other, we have to take every opportunity and avail ourselves to this process as much as we practically can, even if we have to sing alone. Now, I'm going to go for today's thing. So this is very interesting. It says, devotion to the form of kirtan is unlimited mercy of devotees who are humble. The Lord's mercy is attracted by our humility. Our humility, our expression of our want or need for His shelter. It's very, very attractive when you express your need to the merciful. It's the merciful are attracted by our expression of need for their gifts. So those who are humble, and this form of kirtan is unlimitedly merciful. It means that if you're just humble and you chant the holy name will descend on your tongue, the holy name will absorb your consciousness, the holy name will draw out the love within your heart. So it's recommended, especially for this Kali Yuga, for many, many reasons. One is it's a very, very simple process, and we don't have very much qualities in this age to perform any spiritual practice that has any too much difficulty or too much austerity. The kirtan is fun. So the devotion to the Lord in the form of kirtan is unlimitedly merciful to devotees who are humble and devoid of pride associated with wealth, prestigious birth, admirable quality, and pray. Why? When you have material qualities, the tendency is to become proud. So, and he says this is understood from the Vedas and the Puranas, that kirtan is merciful to those who are humble. You can just see, think of a devotee who you feel is exceptionally humble. And you can see how much their chanting would express such a need for the mercy of Krishna. And therefore, they would automatically have so much taste in their chanting. Because their chanting would be an expression of their love that's enhancing their love. And love is pleasure. We can see how that type of chanting would attract Krishna. When someone is devoid of pride. And therefore, what he's mentioning is, and this is very interesting, that humility is natural in Kali Yuga because generally people lack qualification. So actually, we don't have access in this age to jnana and vairagya and smaran and so many things, so many qualities. It's very, very hard for us to attain. I'm sure everyone who's listening is just saying themselves, if they honestly, you know, what is Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of those, so if you look at me, you will find no good qualities. Your mercy is all that I'm made of. But we can say that, honestly. I mean, what are our qualities in this age? And therefore, in Kali Yuga, activities such as penance, yoga, study of the Vedic sect, cannot be properly performed, even those by highly competent. So, everything is reduced in this age, even dravya or material things. The taste of a fruit is reduced in this age. The potency of objects are reduced. So this is a very wonderful thing, that our weakness or inability in this age becomes our opulence, just simply fact, if we can be honest with ourselves. And when you do that, this the difficulties we have, the weaknesses we have, it becomes a spiritual, an ornament. It becomes an ornament to attract Krishna's mercy. This is such an important point. Just like in the Bhagavatam, the whole story of Narada, we explain every Sunday how important this story is. It's Narada showing him the message of the Bhagavatam and how it works, what the effect of the association of devotee. But how did Narada Muni appreciate the association? What was his qualification? The real thing, they were Dina Vatsala. Dina, they were Vatsala. Vatsala means affection, like a parent, Dina, to the poor. Not someone who is just poor, but someone whose poverty is used to feel dependent and humble. So that's the our poverty is an obstacle. Not I'm talking about just money, but our poverty of good qualities in this age. You know, our disturbed minds, our inability to control the senses. If it makes us humble. Therefore, Jiva says, Sankirtan, appearing amidst the people of Kali Yuga who are naturally meek, easily confers upon them all the results derived from the practices prominent in other yugas and thus makes them perfect. So any practice is made to absorb the mind. A humble soul who can petition Krishna experiences a flood of mercy that absorbs his mind to a higher level or a level equal to the yogis of other ages in Sankirtan. Person who puts his hands up in the air and surrenders to Krishna and calls his name. Just like there's no material qualification. Prabhupada said, therefore, we should chant like a child crying for his mother. What's the child's qualification? The child's qualification is his honesty, that he realizes he is dependent on his mother and therefore wants his mother's shelter. And therefore, the love in his heart, he becomes absorbed in his mother. He's just a little child, but his mind is completely controlled. I want my mother. His mother is in his mind. He's controlled his mind on the object of his mother. Ma, 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 ma. So a devotee who is humble and sees his pitiful condition, that he is dependent on God and therefore can chant with true humility in his heart, calling out to Krishna, O Lord, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. There becomes an absorption, an emotional absorption. But in what? In the absolute reality, which is the goal of all yoga. For this reason, the Lord is especially pleased in Kali Yuga only by Sankirtan. In this age, he's especially pleased by Sankirtan. We should not miss opportunities to do Sankirtan. In fact, we will be doing that at the Revels house, I believe in 3 weeks. I think it's the weekend of the 25th to 26th. There will be Kirtan, those of you that are in the East Coast. If you have that faith in the holy name, that this is the Lord is especially pleased by Sankirtan, well, this is an opportunity. You don't have to come for the whole thing, but at least the end. And absorb yourself, sit in Kirtan, and just feel so thankful. So thankful that Prabhupada came to America and he gave the holy name. One time, this was a Kumbh Mela, I believe it was in 76, Prabhupada was in the Kumbh Mela, and different leaders were coming to Vrindavan, you know, his senior sannyasis, and at that time they had more prestige and status than we do then. Well, they're only in like their 20s, but we revered them. So, you know, we're in Vrindavan, we were greeting each of the sannyasis, and then when we came to meet Kirtananda, unfortunately he's fallen from grace, so to speak. But at that time he had some realization. He was talking about New Vrindavan and his plans to develop it. We asked him, oh, how will you develop New Vrindavan? How will you develop? And he said, well, just like Prabhupada. He sat down in Tompkins Square Park and chanted the holy name a and the whole Hare Krishna movement. So I will go to the woods of West Virginia and chant the holy name. And so Prabhupada had this faith in the holy name. So the same point he says is made by Sukha. That's significant. Why? Because Sukadeva Goswami is a disciplic succession of the Bhagavatam. And he's an authority. So what does he say? He said, what is attained in Satya Yuga by meditating on Vishnu, in Treta Yuga by propitiating him with elaborate sacrifice, and in Dwarpa Yuga by worship of the deity, is attained in Kali Yuga by singing about Lord Hari. Same thing. You achieve the same thing. And that's a degree of absorption. Just by doing Sankirtan. It's the same thing as someone meditating very deeply. You become absorbed. The melodies properly, it captures your mind, your senses. One's singing, he's chanting. Whatever is achievable in Satya Yuga and the other ages by the respective methods of those ages can be attained in Kali Yuga simply by singing about Lord Hari. Elsewhere it said, this is Vishnu Purana, whatever one achieves in Satya Yuga by meditation, in Treta Yuga by performance of sacrifice, and in Dwarpa Yuga by worship of the deity, is attained in Kali Yuga by Kirtan of Lord Keshava. Very wonderful. So now it's very interesting. It says that you can attain everything by Sankirtan, without the help of any other discipline. This means that when one attains, that one can attain everything that is gained through thousands of other methods, such as meditation and such. You can gain everything by this process. Exactly what I'm speaking here today, there's a kirtan in the temple, and it's so rare that I'm like in a temple atmosphere. But I'll go after this, it'll still be going on. So this is Karbhajana Muni, and this is the verse. He's predicting the different Yuga avatars. This is the 11th canto. When he comes to Kali Yuga, he gives this famous verse. Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Sangopangas Dhaparshadam Yagyai Sankirtana Prayer Yajanti. Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam, Krishna Varnam, in this age, who will be the avatar? Krishna Varnam, he'll be the category of Krishna, Tusha Krishna, but he won't have the color of Krishna, he'll be golden. Or Krishna Varnam, he will varnayati, he will always be repeating, he will always be saying Krishna, Tusha Krishna, but he'll be in a golden color. Sango Pangas Dhaparshadam Yagyai Sankirtana Praya. So after this, when Karbhajana Muni is instructing King Nima, he says, those who are cultured, who can perceive virtue in everything, if you can perceive the good in everything, the good qualities, to thus extract the essence of all things, extol the merits of the age of Kali Yuga, in which one can attain everything desirable merely by singing the names of Lord Hari. So Kali Yuga, I'm just telling you, it is progressing. Those of you who live in America, I can just see the standard of living is sinking. Madison Avenue has pumped us all up with all these needs, from gigabytes of computers and cell phones and gadgets and GPS. I have one of those. What is it? GPS? Yeah. And, there's so many needs. And that the prices of housing is going up and the price of gas is going up. But somehow or other, the salaries are not going up. And I'm seeing, no matter what people do, they're always in financial stress. My father, I grew up when my parents moved, I was living in an apartment, my parents moved when I was six. We moved to a place in Brooklyn called Canarsie. We bought a new house there, it had a 50 by 100 plot. It was a 3-bedroom house. You know, it had a basement, finished basement, three floors. It had an apartment to rent, big backyard. And only my father was working. Only my father was working. My mother was home taking care of the kids. Who can do that today? Who can do that today? When I went to college, I remember my tuition for the whole year, room and board, was $800. You know, so, you know, I'm just saying the Kali Yuga, so look at the nature of Kali Yuga. But someone who is the word here is called Sara Bhagina, who can draw out the essence of everything. They can, Gunagya, they can perceive the goodness in everything. And what is that? The merit of Kali Yuga in terms of the propagation of Kirtan. It's somehow or other the most fortunate place to be because of that one quality hidden within it. That we should just be fully taking advantage of. If we take advantage of that, we have the most important thing. If you really believe your soul and that your benefit in life is the awakening of the nature of the soul, and that is the benefit because that's happiness, your soul, and your happiness is ultimately in relationship with the soul. And the happiness of the soul is love of Godhead. So in this particular age, the good quality of it is this, and this is the Bhagavatam. You can get everything desirable by kirtan. Now, he goes, well, okay, one more. He goes on with the glory. This Karana Bhajana, he describes the glory. Therefore, the human beings wandering in this material world, there is no benefit higher than the kirtan of Nam Kirtan, by which one attains supreme peace and cessation of the cycle of birth and death. Supreme peace means prema, because the mind will only be peaceful when it gives up other demands, and love means you give up all self demands. So, in the Skanda Puranas and the Kali Yuga, great devotees always perform kirtan. In other yuga, the Lord who bestows special grace only upon the meek. Listen. The Lord bestows special grace only upon the meek. So we have that chance in this age. We don't have the abhiman or conception. I am Brahmin. I am king. I am kshatriya. I am twice born. I am, you know, self-controlled. I am disciplined. So he did not reveal the process, which is the cause of such fixity in him. According to the above statement, Skanda Print, the reason why the Lord did not promulgate kirtan and other yugas is because the people had the ability to follow the processes recommended to their respective ages. So they can perform all these difficult processes in previous ages. So, consequently, the people of those ages, I'm reading actually basically, who are fit for meditation, in other words, they just couldn't identify somehow that a spiritual process could be so easy. They associated spiritual attainment with the austerities. You know, it's a certain thing. It's like somehow, you know, people do triathlon. You know, what's the glory? The ego of some big attainment. So ego means we want big things. But when you say now you can attain God without performing austerities for hundreds of years, people just can't, like, I'm not into it. I'm into it. I want the triathlon of spiritual life. I want the 30-mile runs of... So this is what it was in the other. You go, we're humble. We can't do that. My God, I can't even sit down and control my mind. I can't meditate for 10 minutes. You know? So we don't have that. But in previous ages, people got a real buzz with spiritual triathlon. With the 30-mile spiritual run and the austerities. And that was their ego. And therefore, chanting means crying. Ego will not allow. Ego will not allow. You have to be down to cry for Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya, he couldn't bestow this process in other ages because people weren't meek. They had too much. They had too much opulence, too much power. They had too much opulence. They had too much power. So they just couldn't. And I know this, frankly, from people who are very, very learned, sometimes know Sanskrit and so many things. They just can't identify with this process of kirtan. You know, it's just too sentimental. It's too simple. The story of Haridas Thakur and the assembly of Govardhan Majumdara and Aranya Manjumdara. He was in the assembly, and Gopal Chakravarti, he said that the glories of the holy name, it was a sabha, an assembly to glorify the holy name. He said that, you know, one can get liberation by chanting the holy name, and he quoted so many verses. And Haridas Thakur says, that is not the real glory of the holy name. The real glory of the holy name is prema, or love in your heart. And liberation comes by a faint glimpse of the holy name. Abbas. Just like there's rogues and thieves, you don't need the full rising of the sun when it's just the dawn and a boss of the sun. They're exposed and they go away. Everything's safe on the roads. So the similar way, you don't need the full rising of the holy name. Even an boss of the holy name will give. And what did Chakravarti, the Brahmin, he said, what? How is that possible? Liberation takes so many years of arduous practice and chanting the mantras in the right way and performing the different pratas, etc. How is that possible that it can come simply by the mere movement of the tongue and the lips as a spiritual process? I cannot have faith in that process. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya, even though it was still potent in other ages, he didn't bestow it, but he saw in Kali Yuga that we would be so desperate. We would be so beaten down that a process of moving the lips and tongues we can embrace. A process that takes tears coming from the eyes, crying, we can embrace. We're already crying in this age. There's so many things. So many things are out of our control. Madhvacharya said, if we can collect all the tears that we have shed, suffering in this material world since time immemorial, each one of us could fill an ocean. When we hear that in Kali Yuga, we can identify that because we have cried in this life. We have cried for so many ways, even the basic opulences, the basic relationships, the basic families, you know, the basic, you know, so many things, everything, gurus, blooping, internet, so many things. It's just beyond us. What hope do we have? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. This is it. So somehow he's making this point in this age that this absorption
Krishna. The next journal of Vaishnava studies is coming out.
Control
but
the mind, which is the purpose of by the standard
dollar trading with TSL
and
with
the Danga and the sweet sounds of the instruments.
Auto Rudolph and all these people,
and
right?
Dancing.
And Setraj, obviously, part of the whole title. So someone could write an article about Prabhupada. He doesn't have time to write it now, and I guess there's no one else to write it because he sent me an email. He wants me to write it.
Really?
So I got 5 weeks.
Mara?
Yes?
20 pages. He gave me a lot of ideas to start off.
Hi, Mo. Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Nanda Dalal. Please accept my
invitation. What do you think?
Maharaj, you mentioned that you know we don't have good qualities.
One thing is just like the Gita.
But you mentioned
right
humble,
now,
humility. But we don't have humility. I don't think I have any.
Well, I think we have the opportunity.
I got to spend
a lot
of research.
That's the point he's making.
I mean, I got to spend a couple of weeks reading.
It's not obviously that everyone's humble. People still can be full of pride. It's the hour. But if someone has some desire for spiritual life, some honesty.
Yeah,
sitting
my son's good at this.
He can
make
a spiritual
like, you know,
process.
I'm trying to kill myself to get something published.
Then,
you know what I mean? It's like, here's someone saying, like,
easy
write this.
To access humility.
You know what I mean?
Where if he's a Brahmin, I remember one time I was giving a lecture, and
he
I
was
not you know, I was just beginning
time.
The boat. He was ridiculous. Yeah, I was 27, traveling in India.
No, but I'm writing it.
I don't know if I was a sannyasi.
An article
yet,
in
but, you know, I was like a
head
of the school, and I had this. And I gave class, and I remember these high-class Brahmins.
And also,
I mean,
service, too, you know.
I was watching, and they were eating, you know. And I, very frankly, I was just new to this. You know, the turmeric was dripping down my sleeves, you know. These people, when they were eating, their plates were just so clean. And, you know, things would pop into their mouth, you know. You know, and there was a certain pride that comes, honestly. You know, a certain pride can come, because when I gave my class, they were saying, what about samskara, Swami? What about samskara, your previous samskara? They were Brahmins. I am Brahmin. So there's that type of thing when people have qualities. And what he's mentioning is people could actually perform penance, and they could perform austerity. So there was a certain ego that I can do big things. It comes with that. It, you know, I have a lot of wealth. It comes with that. I can do big things. I'm doing pujas and big sacrifices. It, with these things come. Now, when you don't have them, like Narada Muni, it doesn't mean that, you know, just because you're pure, poor, you'll become humble. But there is a chance to become humble. There is a chance because you just really can get the idea. When you don't have material assets, you can really get the idea that you're not the controller. It doesn't mean that everyone who's poor, that, you know, poverty can instill all bad qualities. He's making a point that he's speaking to us. Who else is reading the book? We're devotees. He's speaking to us. Look, you don't have good qualities. You know, you can't be honest with yourself. You can't control your mind. You can't do this. You can't do that. This temporary material world is full of suffering. Take shelter of the holy name as your only business. And get into kirtan and chant and dance and really beg for Krishna's mercy. And you can, if you're humble and you petition the Lord, you can become absorbed. Okay?
Thank you, Mother.
Okay. Anybody else have a question? Someone else had a question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who is that?
This is Gail.
Oh, Gail.
Oh, thank you for elaborating on what it is about
this
our,
age.
About our existence that's not real. You said that
yeah.
You know, it is our, because, you know, I was thinking that, you know, the elements are real, you know, but
yes.
You said that it's our conception that the elements are, you know, real people, that's what's not real,
Right. Now, again, I just wanted you to make a qualifier that that's the highest philosophical conception which we may not be at, and we can relate to the ideal, you know, according to our realization, and also it's something can be real when it's used in God's service. Then if you see its connection to God, if it's an expression in relationship to God, then it can develop a certain eternality in it. But anyway, go ahead, Gail. You want to say something else?
Actually, I just wanted you to talk a little bit more about the fact that Krishna appreciates so much our participation in Sankirtan, I mean, I guess it's easy to see why we would appreciate it so much, because, Krishna has made himself so accessible in the form of his name.
Yeah.
But, I guess why he appreciates so much when we,
Well, he's got a relationship with us, right? We're his devotees. And his strongest desire is that we become happy and that we develop love. He wants that.
Mm.
And therefore, when he sees that we are developing that, he becomes happy.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like your children, right?
Yes.
If you saw your children, dancing wild, nicely in a kirtan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or sitting in a class and appreciating it, you would become happy.
Oh, yes.
So it's like that. It's relationship. And he sees. So he wants so much, and he sees that this is the best process. The nice point was made in this book that I was reading about kirtan. He's Sankirtanaika Pitparo. He is the father of Sankirtan. So Sankirtan is like his son. It's born from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when you serve the son, it's analogous, but when you serve the son, the father's pleased. He gave this. He gave this for our benefit. So when we take something that's given for our benefit, like the father, maybe he gives instructions for the child's benefit, right? The child follows the instructions. The father's very pleased. Father instructs the son, this is how you should live your life. You shouldn't do this. You should do this. You should do this. You should deal with people like this. And he sees him following the instructions which he gives within love. He gets great pleasure. Okay, Gail?
Yeah, it was really nice to hear, to have it reinforce the amount that Krishna is so desiring,
Yes. Yeah, that's what the whole world is about. The whole world is Krishna's desire to give himself. Really. The whole world is Krishna's desire to give himself.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, everything in this world and every experience we have can be ultimately used with the right guidance and knowledge to bring us closer to Krishna. And what to speak, the holy name is the internal potency of Krishna. So the holy name is love for Krishna. So when you're doing Sankirtan, that's the pleasure of God. Okay. Any other questions, Gail?
Oh, no, thank you.
Thank you, Gail. Anybody else have a question? Okay, would anybody like to say Hare Krishna to Odarya Dham? Nice to see a place where there are really real monks. It's a high standard. I think there's only about 8. And there's more, twice as many monks here as last year. But it's nice to be 8-9 monks, very natural, living in. They each have their own room, which is also nice. Chaparaswami was speaking to him, and he said that, you know, Indian ashram, you know, is one way. But he said in the West, you know, they've been having monasteries for Western people for hundreds and hundreds of years. And in Western monasteries, each monk gets his little cell. So, yeah, it's an idea that, the idea is that there are many people who are natural monks. They can be monks in any situation. And then there's a variance of people who in this life may be monks or may not be monks. But if they have just a little bit more facility and vision, that they also can be monks. And I said that, yeah, I mean, it shouldn't be that you, you know, in the Catholic Church, they have orders, and it's not just like there's, you know, there's monks. And it's not like there's just like a class of monks called sannyasis who have their own room, who probably couldn't live any other way. So it should be that someone who's seriously dedicated to renunciation has, it's not an opulence, a small little room with your own little table, and you know, you can meditate. So I think it's a good idea. It's a good idea. And in a country environment with nice program and affection to people, it's a good idea. I think we could create, we could increase the number of...
Did you lose Gunach? Did you lose her?
No.
Can you hear her right now?
What?
Can you hear her right now?
Yeah.
Lost her. Can you hear Grandma right now?
Yeah.
She's talking?
Yeah. I mean, having people say
hi. Thank you for listening to the class.
Yes.
I still have it.
Can you hear him right now?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Krishna. Who's crying?
Hi, Krishna Garage. It's Kishore Radha.
I recognize.
That's
Kishore.
Priya.
That's Priya?
That's Priya.
Okay. Thank you for listening. Good. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. It's Karunika in Christchurch, New Zealand.
Karunika. Very well. I was
thank
just...
Thank you for the...
Thank you. What?
Thank you for the wonderful class. I am really appreciating this. It's just really fabulous for me. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm so glad. I always know how much you like to hear. I can tell you, I'm right before my deity, and he really looks spectacular. He's got that Kadamba outfit that you made, you know?
Yes.
It's under that Kadamba tree, the green flowers, the purple background. So I was appreciating. And I was just getting around. I've been so busy. Writing a letter, answering the letter that Ariel wrote me. Okay. Thank you,
Karunika. He will be happy to hear from you.
Yeah, well, just tell him that. I'm just so, because I, you know, I'm driving my own car now and everything, get around to it. So I will get around to the letter. Okay. Thank you. Just tell him it's coming soon. Good.
I will. Thank you.
Okay. Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Bhagavati.
Bhagavati, Hare Bo.
I was appreciating that part you said about our weakness, becoming our opulence, if we're honest. I really appreciate that point.
Yeah, the most vivid illustration of that is when one time, a long time ago, I kind of host Sir Giriraj Swami was telling me all these stories about his intimate relationship with Prabhupada. Gail will like this because I told her 100 times, but it's such a good one. And then I was so startled at his intimacy with Prabhupada. I said that, you know, you really got a lot of mercy. And then Giriraj Swami looked at me and said, I'm just the mercy case. I'm just the mercy case. And I thought that was great. you know, because the most wonderful thing, which was the mercy of Prabhupada, came because he expressed his need.
Right.
Not that he felt like, oh, I'm so qualified to have Prabhupada's mercy. No, I'm so unqualified.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's so beautiful because it gives us hope. It gives us a perspective to look at our situation. And I always quote the very nice story of Socrates, because I'm listening to this now, when he was condemned to death, and he just said to the people, if you try to kill me, you won't harm me, you'll only harm yourself.
Mm.
You know, because his vision was not material, that what is glorious is to awaken the soul. And if you harm others, you'll cover the soul. If you act virtuous, you'll awaken the soul. So any circumstance can be used for our highest goal. And whenever I say that, because I know how I kick and scream when things don't go my way, you know, I say, you know, I'm talking big, but I try. Okay, thank you, Vegavati. Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. It's Paramananda.
Paramananda. Haribo, did you get my letter today?
Was it an email?
It's such a funny that I sent you an email today.
Really? I haven't checked it.
Well, let me see. I'll just check one second here. Because you wrote me. I sent it at 7:35 p.m.
Oh, wow.
So it's a coincidence, right?
It is a coincidence.
Well, thank you for listening, and read the email, okay?
It was a great call tomorrow. I'm feeling very inspired.
Very, very good. So please listen regularly. Thank you.
Okay. Hare Krishna.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Govardhan from the Kipsi.
Gordon Govardhan. Thank you, Gordon, for listening. Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you.
Where are you listening from? Your parents' house?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. I'll have to visit there, you know?
Okay.
Definitely. Thank you, Gordon. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay, what I do now is Tripurari Swami gives the evening class. So I will proceed to myself hearing. He's a very good speaker, really nice realization. There was one story read in the morning. There was a book by Sridhar Maharaj, and he was describing Bhakti Siddhanta. And it was so nice how Bhakti Siddhanta looked at the world. And he was in one place, and, you know, his brahmacharis were begging, and the people were real rowdy, and they even started to stone him, you know? They even started to stone Bhakti Siddhanta. And when his disciples were there, what he said is, Krishna, why are you doing this to me? I'm going to report you to Mother Yasoda. So I thought that was so beautiful that he saw everything as Krishna's will and then kind of had a spontaneous twist on it. But he was getting stoned, right? Not stoned, but I mean, they were throwing stones at him. Of course not. They're throwing stones at him, these people, and these, you know, low-class people were throwing stones as he was going away. His reaction was, what, Krishna, why are you doing this to me? I will tell Mother Yasoda. Okay, so so nice to be with all of you. Vanchakalpa Tarubya Sakrata Sindhu Bhaiva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah.